We have a series, folks. The Warriors even the NBA Finals with a 107-88 win over the Celtics at one game apiece. Series shifting back to the Bean Wednesday for Game 3. Steph Curry scored 29 points. He held it down and then some. Steph, talk to me.
I think it's different just because of the way the team's constructed. There's always a need for me to be aggressive, try to play make, try to score. Understand how the defense is going to guard me and guard us as a team and be able to counter that. When you have, as you compare it to years past, with the depth that we had, with the heavy loading of scoring, me, KD, Clay, had, like, obviously it looks a little different, but and the game flows a little different, but I think this year there's definitely a need for me to be aggressive throughout the game to create, draw attention, get shots up, and just continue to apply pressure.
With their Game 2 performance, the Warriors are now favored to win the finals again. A reminder, the Celtics have won 13 of 14 NBA titles after winning Game 1. The series now shifts to Boston for Games 3 and 4, where the Celtics are just 5-4 this postseason. Okay, JJ, if I remember correctly,
yes,
you picked the Celtics, right?
I did pick the Celtics.
Okay, yeah. So here's what I want to know. Which team should feel better now heading into Game 3? Is it the Warriors or the Celtics?
Well, I honestly think both teams should feel good. I'll tell you why. So the Celtics did their job, and they got a game in Golden State. And obviously they've struggled at home, but now they have home court for this series. And Golden State should feel good because they have played stretches of basketball against this Boston Celtics defense that has looked beautiful. And the third quarter last night was a great example of that. I think both teams have concerns here. And specifically for the Celtics, their turnovers – and how to guard Steph Curry in the pick and roll. And that's where I think the biggest adjustment has got to be going forward if you're the Celtics. And maybe some of that is rotation. Maybe some of that is Daniel Tice. It doesn't play and you go smaller and use Al Horford and you Grant Williams and switch more or you're up in the pick and roll. The Celtics are trying to stay out of that backside 4-on-3, Stephen A., right? We've seen it so many times where teams blitz Steph Curry and he's able to throw it back to Kevon Looney or Draymond Green, and all of a sudden it's a 4-on-3 on the backside. So that's a real concern for the Celtics. And for the Warriors, you have not seen the best version of Jason Tatum yet. You know, that to me is a little bit concerning. I didn't think he obviously didn't shoot it well in Game 1. I didn't think he had a bad game because of his playmaking, but I thought last night he was really, really up and down. He made some bad decisions. He took some tough shots. And I don't think you've seen the best version of Tatum. And, of course, give the Warriors credit, which I did in the first hour. And, Stephen A., you talked about Andrew Wiggins as a defender last week. And I downplayed it a little bit. And so I'm willing to admit right now I was wrong. Okay?
Thank you.
Say it again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
wrong.
That.
Wait,
are you going to answer the question?
About. Yeah, that's what I'm waiting on.
Are you going to answer the question? Answer the question,
JJ. Which team should feel better?
No, you dancing like Fred Astaire.
Just tell me which team do you feel better about right now.
I feel better about the Celtics. I made the mistake in that Heat 76ers series. Hold on. I made the mistake in the Heat 76ers series of flip-flopping halfway through the series. I'm not going to do that anymore. I feel better about
that. So we got an answer. All right, so you feel better about the Celtics. Well, then congratulations, because that's the damn answer we were waiting for. Zivin giving us a dissertation, Top Gun. I needed a decision. You were giving me both. I mean, leave something to me. I mean, damn, all the points that you made, I disagree with none of them. None of them at all. I just needed you to pick a side, okay? And you finally did after about 20 minutes. Here's the deal, okay?
Don't look at me. I can't tell
for me,
this one.
For me,
my answer on the sheet that I gave the producers
is
both teams.
See, you're sitting in that. I told you there's a responsibility in that seat, JJ. I keep telling you that. But here's the deal. I'm going to roll with you, with the Celtics. I think the Celtics should feel better, despite the fact that they got blown out. Here's the deal. First of all, the Boston Celtics always respond. They haven't lost back-to-back games in these playoffs. That's number one. Number two, the fact that you got blown out, you know you're better than that. Number three, you know that Jason Tatum is better than what he has shown you. And number four, just stop turning the damn basketball over. You've already claimed home court advantage in this series because you got your one game in Golden State. So I believe at this particular moment, I think we'll be singing a different tune by the time game five rolls around. But for the moment, I believe that the Boston Celtics should be feeling a lot better after these first two games because of what we've seen them capable of doing and what we know they're capable of doing, and they haven't done. I think that they should feel better about where they are right now.
I just wanted to bring up a point because earlier in the show, we were talking about that Warriors third quarter last night where they hit a bunch of jumpers in a row. Steph got going. Jordan Poole got going. And I talked about momentum. And I want to be clear on this. I think within a game, there are momentum swinging plays. I think within a series, I don't buy the momentum thing. And the Boston Celtics are a great example of this. If you go back to the Milwaukee series, right? They lose game three by 23 points. They go down 2-1. They win game four. They lose game five. They're down 3-2. They win two straight elimination games. Game five in against Miami. In Miami, they lose that game. They do it again. They win two elimination games, game six and game seven, to get to the final. This is a team that bounces back. Ime Udoka can make adjustments. To me, they're actually doing some weird pre-switches on side out of bounds plays and on inbound underneath out of bounds plays. They're pre-switching, so they've got a bunch of different people on Steph Curry. Marcus Smart hasn't really started on him on those plays. And then within those pick and rolls, they have options. They can blitz. They can hedge, but be up in the coverage. They can switch. And rotation wise. I think both teams are deep, and both teams have the luxury of figuring out different, you know, rotations. And I know I said this earlier, but like just having Gary Payton II back in the lineup last night
was
a huge boost for the Warriors. You know, he was on the two best lineups in terms of plus minus last night. Gary Payton II was in those lineups. So I think both teams have some adjustments to make. But I think when I think about the Celtics and the adjustments they can make, there's room to be excited, and there's obviously room to be excited about the fact that Jason Tatum should and will be better in this series.
I will say this to you. Jordan Poole had a strong second half. He had 2 points on 1-for-5 shooting in the first half last night. And we know we've already lamented Clay. I get everything that you're saying about those other role players. Gary Payton II, I love seeing him back out there. That was a huge, huge deal for Golden State. It's specifically when he hit the corner three as well, because it's one thing, you know what he's going to bring defensively and athletically, but he attacks the basket and he will hit an open three and he'll take it. And so obviously I think that goes a long way. We know what Otto Porter can bring to the table. We get all of that. But to me, another reason why Boston should feel better right now at this point, again, we'll say something probably different going into game five back in Golden State. But right now, why Boston should feel better, Klay Thompson is so pivotal to me. When Klay Thompson is rolling with Steph, sometimes better than Steph, that's when the Warriors are the Warriors. And he closes the deal. If Klay Thompson gets going in this series, it's a wrap. There's no answer when Steph and Klay get going, because what that does to galvanize everybody else around Golden State, it's just something special to behold. But we're not seeing that as of yet.
I'm not concerned about. I mean, we're 10 days ago, he had 32 points in a closeout game. You know, some of this is the Boston Celtics have done a really good job contesting his shots. They've been physical. Yep. They've had great court awareness. You know, I did a details episode for ESPN Plus on Klay's game five, and there were so many times where he's coming off screens, and the starting point of the Mavs defenders were so far off the body. You know, to guard Steph and Klay off the ball, you have got to be up to touch. You've got to have literally physical contact with them as you get ready to fight through these picks. And I think the Celtics have done a good job. I will say this, and we talked about Tatum. He's probably going to be better. Klay's going to be better. I would expect Klay to be better. You bring up Jordan Poole all the time. And one of the things, from last night was, for a guy who's like a lot of shooters and a lot of scorers, he's an irrational confidence guy. Like a third quarter like he had last night, that could potentially be a little bit of a shift for him in this series going forward. Sometimes you just need to see a few going in a row.
Let me say this. I would encourage people to go watch you on detail. You do a good job. I mean, I'm very, very proud of you. I'm very proud of you, JJ. I mean, you continue to impress. I got to admit to you. I mean, I watched it. I see your breakdown, and I love it. I really, really do. Having said that, I got to give my man Jalen Rose some props here. Jalen Rose goes out last night and he highlighted on NBA Countdown how they're making Klay work. Shots are contested. There's somebody in his face. They're rolling off picks. They're putting a body on him constantly. Klay, what Boston is doing to him, he's not accustomed to that with the degree of regularity that they do it. Number two, because he's still not 100%, the fact that they put him through all of that might compromise those legs a little bit. And as a result, might be throwing off his shot as well, because people just look at you launching as a jump shooter and they don't realize how important of a component legs are to literally helping you shoot the basketball better. So I take that into consideration as well. And I get that I can see Klay exploding one game or whatever. They need three more. And I think that if Klay can give you anything close to Klay, I'm telling you, I don't see Golden State losing this series. I'm counting on them to do it, but I got to admit, Boston looks like they're giving him a huge, huge headache.
Okay. But even after the loss, you both feel better about Boston right now. We will leave it there. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. 2019 NFL MVP Lamar Jackson has noticeably been absent from Ravens OTAs for the first time in his career. Jackson is entering his fifth-year option, which will pay him a little over $23 million this season. Questions continue to swirl about the star quarterback's long-term contract situation. Baltimore's mandatory minicamp is scheduled for June 14th to 16th. Now, our quarterback joins the show, my guy, Dan Orlovsky. Top of the morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Hold on, Molly.
Good morning.
Hold on, Molly. Molly, first of all, I want to apologize because, I mean, I usually start off the day critiquing you, Molly, because you're always beautiful, and I always tell you that. But if I don't like something on your wardrobe or whatever, I'll let you know. But I didn't compliment you today on how great you're looking today. And I want to transition to Dan because I'm about to get a little bit emotional right now. I just want everybody to know Dan Orlovsky is going to be a part of Monday Night Football with my man Lewis Riddick. I mean, you know, to watch this young pup grow and mature in this business the way that he has, and to show up on First Take and to be on NFL Live. I mean, hold on. I mean, just watch this guy grow before our very eyes. He has now graduated, Molly, to a point where he's to put his wife in first class. He's actually going to do this, Molly. I mean,
Wait, yes, you are. Dan, what
Don't
are you
ruin
doing?
This.
Tell me. What are you doing?
Stephen A is breaking news a little bit for ESPN, but yeah.
I mean, it was in the news.
First Take. Let's go. Tell me what's happening.
You know, I'm having the opportunity to be calling Monday Night Football games with Lewis and Steve Levy for the extra Monday Night Football games or like Saturday, you know, NFL on ABC's type stuff. So yeah. I'm obviously extremely, extremely excited about that and thankful for it. And I'm hoping to still be a part of First Take during the football season as well. I'm not changing anything. I'm just going to do more.
There's no hope. You will be unless you continue to be cheap with your wife. I'm serious about this. You can't be, you know, you got a reputation. Don't sit there and roll your eyes, Molly. I mean, come on. You're a lady for crying out loud.
My wife's going on she's going on a bachelorette party, I think July 24th weekend to Baja Mar with some of her college friends, so some of her best friends.
It's supposed to be awesome there.
She's flying coach.
Oh, my goodness.
She's flying coach.
He says that.
He says that with pride. I honestly believe.
Let's move on.
You have
Let's
to earn
I take back everything I said.
Dan, I don't have time to properly congratulate you the way I wanted to. I had a lot of things I wanted to say, and I'm being told we have to get to the debate.
The nice thing is,
you're so deserving. Nice.
Thank you, Molly.
Thank
you do look nice. Stephen A's shirt looks like my coffee color in the morning, though.
We need like a segment before the segment. All right, let me go here. Dan, huge congrats. We'll talk about this more after. This is major.
Thank you. I appreciate you both.
Tell me this, Stephen A. Is Lamar's absence from OTA something or nothing? Because I know no one cares about my opinion, but I'm starting to think it might be something.
It is something. It is something. And here's what I mean by this. I'm not talking literally, Dan, in all seriousness, about the actual OTAs. It's voluntary. Like Lamar Jackson pointed out on several occasions in the past, it's voluntary. It's not mandatory. We understand that. I get that. I'm just talking about for him, with his situation. You got contract situations that need to be resolved. You're representing yourself as opposed to having representation. You know, you're not only the star quarterback, you're the face of the franchise. So much evolves around you. And I don't think that in certain respects, Lamar Jackson is looking at the big picture. Let me be clear, because I know the Ryan Clarks of the world, the Swagoons of the world, along with yourself, are listening to me. I am not implying by any stretch of the imagination that Lamar Jackson should go out there and play during OTAs and risk injuring himself. I've been on the record about that. He shouldn't do a damn thing without a new contract. That is not what I am implying. I'm talking about a presence. I'm talking about showing up and making sure the organization knows that it's a priority for you to remain a part of this organization. You're the leader. You're the face of the franchise. You're the star. And so much evolves around you, particularly in the land of the NFL, that anything that you do that gives off a kind of vibe that that's not a priority for you is potentially detrimental to the bottom line of a franchise, which is winning. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to say. It's not just about, I've said this on many occasions, and it transcends beyond the court or the field of play, which is something that I try to tell people all the time. When you get paid the big bucks, it's not just because of your performance. It's because you prove you're trustworthy.
Yeah.
You're going to show up. You prioritize winning above all else. You prioritize a bottom line. I want him to get paid. He deserves Josh Allen caliber money. We all know this. And I'm not disputing any of that. But part of it is not doing just what you want to do because you want to do it. It's doing what's best.
Yeah.
And when you're not prioritizing that, it becomes a bit risky. So in my perfect world, Lamar Jackson would show up and not do a damn thing, but hold a clipboard, talk with the coaches, and show, yo, I'm looking forward to being here without doing anything. Okay. That's all I'm talking about. Nothing else.
I think you make some good points. A couple pushbacks. So I agree with you. He's the face of Baltimore. I think he's one of the faces of the league. Yeah, I honestly believe that. Here's I do not think this is a big issue. I think there's a couple parts that are attached to this. Number one, I think the great majority of people underestimate how long the NFL year is. We often say how long an NFL season is. The NFL year is incredibly long. This is a job that demands 100% every single day, 7 days a week, from really the third week of July, all the way last week of July, all the way through basically till the beginning of February. And that is a physical and mental exhaustion for so many of these players. And then to think that they're just going to ramp it up in April and May and get back to it, you're not going to get that great version of them when it matters the most in November and December. So I think that's part of this. The second thing is this. If you hear the reports coming out that the Ravens want to sign Lamar, and one of the main reasons why Lamar hasn't necessarily sat down and gotten this done is because he wants to prove to the organization, I'm a Super Bowl champion. I think it is about winning. And we've even heard the report that he doesn't know if he's necessarily worth that contract, so to speak. And so it'd be much better. Imagine if Lamar Jackson showed up to OTAs and he's there not working out, but he's just there. We all would be sitting here saying, Lamar, what are you doing? You're not getting any better. You should, if you want to get better and you don't want to be participating and putting yourself at risk, well, go be working with a private quarterback coach or somebody who can be solely focused on Lamar Jackson, because the reality is when you go for some of these OTAs, you've got three or four coaches that are focused on 90 dudes. Lamar might be away from the football team right now, and he might be hiring one or two people that are solely focused on getting Lamar Jackson to play as good as he possibly can. That's what's best for Lamar, and that's what's best for the Ravens. Him not being there for some OTAs to work on out routes with Rashad Bateman in May and June is not going to determine whether they win a bunch of games in November or December.
Wait a minute. But my problem with your take is that you're putting the OTAs in a vacuum. I'm going macro. I'm bringing into account not having representation, negotiating your own contract.
Okay.
But supposedly, you know, sometimes you're not reachable. People are not on the phone with you. There's not discussions. Nobody, you know, everything's on his timetable. And I remember he got into something a few days ago. I don't know when it was, with Chris Sims. And I'm just paraphrasing here, where he talked about Lamar's going to be Lamar. It's voluntary OTAs.
Right.
I'm going to be there because Chris Sims pointed out how Tom Brady didn't miss OTAs until after he won Super Bowls, et cetera, et cetera. I'm saying you've got to take everything into consideration in terms of his involvement with the direction of this franchise, because his money is going to dictate and, in some degree, manipulate the direction that this franchise goes in. And my last point is, when you bring up Super Bowls now, you know, he's a Super Bowl champion, et cetera, et cetera. Let me correct you. I know you didn't say that literally, but Lamar's not even a national champion.
Sure.
Never won a national championship in college, and he hasn't won a Super Bowl in the NFL. He's big time. Let's understand that. But in the same breath, let's understand there's a way to go. There's some improvement to show.
I think
and him needing to be there does matter.
I think I'd say this with the macro viewpoint. I believe that Lamar has earned the benefit of the doubt. That we can trust Lamar, that he is not only his play on the field has proven he's going to take care of his business, but also the way he handles himself off the field, also the way he is this absolutely obsessive leader within their organization. I think that he's earned the benefit of the doubt for us to sit back and say, we're going to trust that he, his camp, his people are going to make the right decision for him and his role in that organization moving forward. And I think that that's something that we've got
to
give him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's fair.
I think he's earned that right.
That's fair. We just never heard he had a camp. That's fair, but we never heard he had a camp. We never heard he had anybody.
We don't know
who the hell he is.
I think it's silly for us to sit here and pretend that Lamar is doing everything by himself.
Okay. I don't think that's silly. I mean, he is a maverick.
All right. Hey, Dan, in all seriousness, obviously you're such a natural talent. You have a great personality. We all love working with you. But I know how hard you work as well. So huge congratulations. New deal, new role, the whole thing. I'm so glad.
Thank you, Molly. Thank you both.
But I'm so glad we didn't lose you. Seriously, I'm so glad you're going to be here at ESPN.
Thank you.
All right, we'll keep it rolling.
You're the man, Stephen. I appreciate you. Thanks, Molly.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Last week, Adam Silver said he'd potentially be open to discussions of shortening the regular season only if it could be proven to mitigate injuries. Here's our Richard Jefferson with his thoughts on a shortened season.
This is my issue right here, right? Is that you have game readies, you have Normatex. There was years ago where players used to not travel. They would not travel commercial. We have eliminated back-to-backs. We now have a week-long all-star break instead of like 3.5 days.
Yep.
And I remember guys used to have to catch flights, play the last game on Thursday, play in the game on Sunday, and then you would have a game on Tuesday, Wednesday. They have done every single thing. Every team now has sleep staffs. They have extra training staff. When I came into the league, you had two trainers, and one of them doubled as an equipment manager. Now you have massage therapists that travel with teams. Now guys are staying, and now you want to shorten the season? Like, how much more do we have to make this coddling and all of this stuff go with the players? It makes absolutely no sense. Professional sports is not good on your body. It's supposed to separate the people that can do it from the people that can't do it. And while we do want our best product on the floor, part of greatness is longevity.
Is it coddling or is it making the regular season matter more? So that's RJ's thoughts. JJ, what do you think? Should the NBA consider shortening the regular season?
I think they should consider it. And obviously, CJ, of course, being the head of the players' union, we've had these discussions now for probably 5 or 6 years. And it always goes back to, are we going to lose money? I mean, that's what it comes down to. As much as we can talk about the injuries, and I thought RJ's take was super passionate. I think he has some valid points in there. But ultimately, the owners and the players don't want to lose revenue. And so if there's a way to create a filler or a gap to make up for that lost revenue of 24 home games, by all means, it should be considered. I mean, I like the idea in the same way that the NFL owns Sunday. If the NBA could own two nights, you had a 58-game season, everybody played each other once. And by the way, if everybody plays each other once and the schedule's actually balanced and there's not guys taking games off for load management, it probably gives people like me and people like Stephen A much more holistic view of where the NBA stands because of all of the imbalance of the schedule, the imbalance of guys sitting out certain games against certain opponents. It's really hard to gauge, throughout the course of a season, where exactly a team is in the hierarchy of the NBA. Having said all that, again, I said they should consider it. Having said all of that, I think you run into, and RJ brought this up, it wasn't in that clip, but he brought it up as well. You run into an issue when we talk about legacy, when we talk about records. You start changing the amount of games played. All of a sudden, certain records may never be broken. The new records probably don't carry the same weight. Look, it's hard to contextualize everything, but I always go back to the 1950s and the 1960s, the early NBA, when there are anywhere from 8 to 11 teams. You know, the Boston Celtics, most of those championship years, when they won 11, they had to win two playoff series. They got a bye in the first round. They won a five-game series in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then they win a championship. So you would have to contextualize the future NBA records and the future scoring and all that based upon what the changes made to the schedule.
JJ. Let's shove all of that aside for a second. Listen, it really comes down to, it's about money. You play less games, you're going to cost the owners money. The owners are going to cost the players money. That's really what it comes down to. It also comes down to what RJ was talking about. How much more can people be pacified? Look at the modifications that are made. Look at the means that you have available to you. Look at the eradication of back-to-back-to-backs. Think about, like he brought up massages and, you know, sleep coach or whatever the hell he was talking about. You got all of this stuff that's available to you as a player, not to mention the millions upon millions of dollars that these players are making. Let me just put this on the line and just say this. And CJ, I don't envy the position that you are in at all. To be quite honest with you, as proud as I am that you're the guy heading the NBA Players Association, because I don't think it could have been placed in better hands. I got a lot of love for you. You know that. And you certainly don't epitomize, neither did JJ, what I'm about to say. Back in the day, we had dudes putting themselves through hell to get themselves another contract that would pay dudes a portion of what they're getting now. Now we have guys in the NBA who literally are healthy enough to play with multi-million dollar contracts that span 8, dare I say 9 figures, because they're looking ahead to the next contract. That's how bad it has gotten in certain respects. Not by many, certainly not by all, not by most, but a select few. And more importantly, the more they get, the more they want, even if it means compromising the betterment of the whole, because everybody can't do what some cats can do. Everybody don't have the nine-figure contracts. Everybody ain't guaranteed $30, $35, $40, $45 million a year. Everybody can't sit up there and tell folks to kiss off and know they still got their guaranteed dollars coming in their coffers. They can't do that. So when you act accordingly and you conduct yourself in a fashion that is detrimental to the overall product, that forces owners to come at you in a way that's not beneficial to the collective whole, they might not suffer, but the body of NBA players end up suffering. And that's what we're talking about here. Once again, we're talking about appeasing folks as opposed to encouraging and imploring them to live up to the responsibilities that they signed on to do. I'm not going to mention any names, but we all know that there are players. I'm not saying they're 100% healthy. Y'all know better than me, they're not. But I'm talking about guys healthy enough to play. But they don't necessarily prioritize and push themselves because guess what? I want to be right for the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. And I want to put myself in a position where I'm positioning myself to get another contract, even though I already got a contract paying me high eights, nine figures. That has been to the detriment of the league. And I think this latest situation, in terms of shortening the season, is another means by Adam Silver and the NBA office for consideration to once again appease players who, quite frankly, don't need to be appeased any more than they already have been.
I have a lot to say.
I'm sure
I don't
you
even
do.
Know where to start. I've taken tons of notes. Let's just start with the adjective you used, appeasing players. First of all, players haven't come out and spoken on this matter, so I'll probably be one of the first to speak on it. Adam was asked a question. He addressed the question. Obviously, collective bargaining, there's a lot that's going to go on. There's a lot of discussions that are to be had. But from the player's side, I think obviously my job is to do what's best for the players, to protect the better interest of the players, while also protecting the integrity of the game. You talked about the history of the game. These are all things that we've discussed. But there's a rule of thumb here. You have to adapt or you die. Once upon a time, there wasn't a three-point line, as JJ talked about. He's referred to certain players as plumbers or garbage men.
They did have second jobs.
Dentists or doctors. There was a time in which players had second jobs. I actually have a second job now at ESPN, but I'm fortunate to be in a different position, and I'm thankful for that. But the game has evolved. The way the game is played has evolved. The TV licensing deals have evolved. We're sitting here talking about sports right now, and there's millions of people watching, and there will be millions of people watching Game 3 in Boston for a reason. Players deserve seven figures, eight figures, nine. Some deserve 10. LeBron's a billionaire.
I agree.
For a reason. I think the issue here and what we have to address and figure out is what's best for the game. Obviously, there's financial implications. There's a revenue situation that we have to figure out. What's best for the governors? What's best for the players? And what's the happy medium? But to say that this rule is appeasing players is blasphemy because there's a lot of players that just want to play 82 games. They want to protect the identity of the league, the history of the league. And we have to figure out collectively as a whole what's best for us. But all these things are just being discussed right now. There's no definitive plan of action. I know you guys have discussed 58 games. I'm sure there's a happy medium. Me as a player personally, I want to do what's best to protect the interests of us, whatever that looks like. And I'll vote on behalf of players, similar to how I have in the past. I voted against the bubble, but I end up going anyway. I may vote for this or against this, but I will do whatever 51% of the population wants to do in our league. And I think we have to stop assuming that this is for the players. How do we not know this is for the league as a whole to make the game better? JJ talked about ways to make games matter, ways to make games count. The last thing I'll say is, talked about healthy players sitting out. There's this misconception, if you will, that players just choose to sit out games. JJ played in the league a long time. How often did your staff tell you, JJ, this is a designated rest day?
I'd fight him on it. There's a lot of guys that do fight the teams on it.
Full disclosure here, I played in Portland for a long time with Damian Lillard. Everybody knows that. There was times where we'd go through the calendar and we would be supposed to pick rest days. And Dame and I would look at each other and we would go through designated rest days, right? Back to back, 4 and 5, 5 and 7, whatever the case may be. We would agree to sit games. The game would come up on the schedule. I would look at Dame, he would look at me. I would say, I'm playing tonight. You playing tonight? He'd be like, yeah. We would laugh about it because in reality, we sit those games and people think we're sitting healthy. When in reality, the team's job is to protect that eight-figure, nine-figure endorsement. And the way to protect that is to shield us from games where it's considered high risk of injury.
Running hot. That's what this.
All right, hold on.
Stephen A., before you jump in, really quick, let me just say this: we have 90 seconds, and they are all back tomorrow, and we're definitely going to revisit this because this is extremely interesting.
We've got 90 seconds to talk. We are damn sure revisiting this because, first of all, let me say for the record, there's not a single thing that I said that is blasphemy, CJ, with all due respect. Not a single thing. That's number one. Number two, I have repeatedly stated, J.J. Redick, you participate on this show, you've watched the show. I've brought up on numerous occasions how it's not always the player. There are times that players want to play. I've had numerous players come to me and say, Stephen A., I need you to call the team out because it's not always us. Sometimes these guys come to us and they insist from the top down, we're not playing a particular night. We're not playing a particular game because they don't want us out there because they want to protect their investment and we're fighting for them to be on the court ourselves. I've brought that up in defense of the players on numerous occasions. But in the same breath, and I also pointed out, CJ, how it's not all, it's not most, it's not even a majority. It might be a small minority, but you know that small minority can taint things for the players. I don't have to bring up any names today. I'll wait until I'm well rested and in studio with y'all tomorrow to bring it up then. But make no mistake about it, the actions of the few can taint the many, particularly at the collective bargaining table, which you are fully aware of because it's something that you have to fight. And also, last but not least, we know that the National Basketball Association might take certain positions, but we also know that things are not always stated for the record. So just
right,
don't just because
here.
A player hasn't come out and said anything publicly doesn't mean that it is not so. You know,
okay.
Quotes are given off the record all the time.
We're up against it, and we are definitely going to revisit this tomorrow. CJ and JJ will both
yes,
be back.
We will.
All right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. I know you love that, Fudge. Today's the 21-year anniversary of AI stepping over Ty Lue in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Stephen A., what do you remember about that iconic Finals moment?
Well, it was sensational. I remember that I sparked the ire of Philadelphians everywhere because even though I was a beat writer for the Philadelphia 76ers covering this team for the Philadelphia Inquirer, everybody had said it was so excited about whether or not Philadelphia would win, and I said, it's over in five. And they were like, what? I said, you have no chance because of Shaq, and more Shaq, and oh, by the way, Kobe. And they said, what, are you saying that they'll get swept? And I said, before the game, AI will get you one. That also was the first day that I ever spoke to the great Denzel Washington because he was at the game and came over asking me about how the series would go. I said, AI would get you one, and sure enough, he did. He actually teased Ty Lue about that years later, saying, I made you famous. And Ty Lue said, thank you.
And the rest is history. You were just a little pup, Steve, and now you're Stephen A., the brand that keeps going. Goodbye, everyone. Back tomorrow.
Keeps going. Yes.